How to cope with emotional flashbacks in recovery. Flashbacks aren't just about visual memories. Emotional flashbacks hit without warning and without clear cause. You're suddenly flooded with feelings from the past, terror, shame, helplessness, but you can't identify what triggered it. There's no specific memory playing like a movie. Just overwhelming emotion that feels like it's happening right now, even though the danger is long gone. These happen more in recovery because you're not numbing anymore. Substances kept emotional flashbacks suppressed. Getting sober removes that buffer. Your nervous system starts processing trauma it couldn't handle before. That's progress, but it doesn't feel like progress when you're in the middle of a flashback that makes you want to use again. Emotional flashbacks come from complex trauma. Not one incident. Ongoing situations, childhood neglect, repeated abuse, unstable home environments. Your nervous system adapted to constant threat by staying hypervigilant. Now that you're safe, your body hasn't gotten the message. It keeps reacting to old danger as if it's current. The experience is confusing because there's no clear memory attached. You might feel small and helpless without remembering a specific moment when you felt that way. You might feel overwhelming shame without connecting it to a particular event. Your body remembers what your mind doesn't consciously access. That disconnect makes emotional flashbacks harder to manage than regular flashbacks. Physical sensations signal emotional flashbacks before you recognize what's happening. Chest tightness, shallow breathing, nausea, muscle tension, your body goes into fight, flight, or freeze mode. By the time you realize you're having a flashback, you're already deep in it. Learning to catch those early physical signs helps you intervene sooner. Grounding techniques work, but they have to be practiced before you're in crisis. Waiting until you're in a flashback to try grounding for the first time is like waiting until you're drowning to learn to swim. Practice when you're calm. That builds neural pathways that become accessible during distress. The 5-4-3-2-1 technique uses your senses to pull you into the present. Name 5 things you see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things you hear, 2 things you smell, 1 thing you taste. This forces your brain to engage with current reality instead of past emotion. It doesn't stop the flashback immediately, but it creates space between you and the overwhelming feelings. Physical grounding helps too. Feel your feet on the floor, press your hands against a wall, hold ice cubes. These sensations are immediate and present-focused. They interrupt the flashback by demanding your nervous system pay attention to something happening right now instead of reacting to something from the past. Naming the flashback out loud changes it. I'm having an emotional flashback. This is from the past. I'm not in danger right now. Speaking activates different parts of your brain. It creates distance. You're not just experiencing the emotions, you're observing yourself experiencing them. That shift in perspective reduces intensity. Breathing techniques matter, but complicated methods don't work during acute distress. Simple is better. Breathe in for 4 counts, hold for 4, out for 4, hold for 4. This box breathing regulates your nervous system without requiring complex instructions you can't follow when you're panicked. Understanding your triggers helps, but emotional flashbacks often don't have obvious triggers. You might be having a good day when one hits. That's part of what makes them so disruptive. Your nervous system is responding to subtle cues you're not consciously noticing. A tone of voice, a facial expression, an environmental detail that resembles something from trauma. Keeping a log helps identify patterns. When flashbacks happen, note the time, location, what you were doing, who you were with, and any physical sensations you noticed first. Over time, patterns emerge. You start seeing that certain situations or relationship dynamics trigger flashbacks even when there's no conscious memory connected. Self-compassion is critical but difficult. Your instinct during a flashback is self-criticism. I should be over this. Why am I still reacting like this? I'm pathetic. That criticism intensifies the flashback. It's adding current judgment to past pain. Treating yourself with kindness doesn't come naturally, but it's necessary. You're not weak for having flashbacks. Your nervous system is responding to real trauma. Recovery complicates emotional flashbacks because cravings and flashbacks can feel identical. Both create overwhelming discomfort. Both make you want to escape your body. Both feel urgent and unbearable. Learning to distinguish between them takes practice. Flashbacks are usually more diffuse. Cravings are more specific and focused on substance use as solution. Having a plan before flashbacks happen makes managing them possible. Decide in advance what helps, who you can call, what grounding techniques work for you, where you can go if you need to leave a situation. Having this plan written down means you're not trying to figure it out while you're in crisis mode. Safe people make a difference. Someone who understands flashbacks and won't panic when you're panicking. Someone who can remind you it's a flashback without trying to fix it or make it stop, just presence. Validation that what you're experiencing is real without catastrophizing it. Therapy specifically for trauma helps more than general talk therapy. EMDR, somatic experiencing, and trauma-focused CBT address how trauma gets stored in your body and nervous system. These approaches work on the implicit memory level where emotional flashbacks live. Regular therapy addresses explicit memories and thoughts, which isn't enough for emotional flashbacks. Medication can help manage the hypervigilance that makes flashbacks more likely. Antidepressants, particularly SSRIs, reduce baseline anxiety. Prazosin helps with nightmares and sleep disturbance related to trauma. Beta blockers can reduce physical symptoms of panic. These don't stop flashbacks, but they can reduce frequency and intensity. Creating safety in your current life reduces flashbacks over time. Stable housing, relationships that aren't chaotic, predictable routines. When your present life is actually safe, your nervous system gradually recalibrates. It takes time, months or years, not days or weeks. But consistent safety teaches your body it can stop being on high alert. Avoiding triggers isn't the same as healing. Short term, you might need to avoid certain situations while you build coping skills. Long term, avoidance keeps trauma active. You need to gradually face triggers in controlled ways with support. That's different from forcing yourself into overwhelming situations. It's carefully expanding your window of tolerance. Movement helps process emotional flashbacks. Your body goes into freeze or fight or flight during flashbacks. Moving interrupts that. Walking, dancing, jumping. Any physical activity that lets your body complete the stress response instead of staying stuck in it. This isn't about exercise. It's about letting your nervous system discharge energy. Rest after flashbacks isn't lazy. Emotional flashbacks are exhausting. Your body just experienced perceived danger. That takes enormous energy even though nothing actually happened. You need recovery time. Pushing through and pretending you're fine delays processing and makes the next flashback more likely. Flashbacks decrease in frequency and intensity with proper support and time. They don't necessarily disappear completely, but they become more manageable. You get better at recognizing them sooner. The duration shortens. The aftermath is less disruptive. That improvement isn't linear. Bad days happen. Progress isn't ruined by setbacks. The goal isn't to never have emotional flashbacks. The goal is to have them without reaching for substances, to get through them without destroying relationships or derailing your recovery. To know they'll pass even when they feel permanent. That's realistic healing, not perfection, just building capacity to survive difficult moments without making them worse.